So we're going to begin here on the top of Nun Vov Amud Aleph, about 11 lines down. The Gemara begins Tanu Banan Ba the Rav A Rav A Bribua Olam. If you come to square it out, you square it out according to the absolute north, south, east, west of the world. Notain Tzfona Litzfona Olam. You put the northern side facing north, Deroma the Deromolam, the southern side of the square facing south. V'Simanech. How do you know which way is north and south? So here the Gemara is going to give you a number of ways to determine which way is north and south without a compass. One is, if you look at the constellations, then you have Agalab b'Tzafon ve'Akrav b'Darom. The translation of Agla or Egla is unquestionable. Some say that it's the great wagon, but if you look in the cross-reference, you see here it's cross-reference to Pesachim Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Over there, Rashi associates it with the Egla, Hainu Shor, according to Rashi, which is Taurus, which is found in the northern sky, although it's not often visible in the northern sky over here in Israel, but it is seen on the lower end of the northern sky. Ve'akrav, which is the scorpion or Scorpio, Bidarom, which is found in the southern sky, is often found in the southern sky. Part of the items that I sent out, I showed the constellation, the pictures of the constellations, and the view from here in Israel. At different times of the year, you could see there, there's Taurus, or the Egla, that's there, or the Akrab, and Scorpio, it's there on the southern side. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Imenu Yodeler of Abir Bu'asholom, Miraba Keminat Kufa. If you don't know how to get to north, south, east, and west, you use the tkufot, you use the solstices to determine that. Ketzad, chama yutza biyom aruch. On the longest day, in the summer solstice, then on that day, vishukat biyom aruch. Then it sets on that day. Zeu pnei tzafon. That is the northern side of the world. Chama yutza biyom katzar. When we're talking about the winter solstice, it goes out on a short day, vishukat biyom katzar. Zeu pnei darom. That is the southern side. Kufat Nisan uKufat Tishrei, Kama Yotza b'Chatzim Mizrach, Shukat b'Chatzim Ma'arav. You're talking about the equinoxes, whether the vernal or the autumnal equinoxes. Then it goes up from the center, halfway along the eastern side and halfway along the western side. Shneamar Holech El Darom b'Soveiv El Tzafon. It goes to the south, moves along the north. Holech El Darom b'Yom. It goes on the southern side during the day. Vitzovev el tzafon balayla. Goes on the northern side at night. Sovev, sovev olecha ruach, elu upnei mizrach. That's the eastern side. Upnei marav, upamim halachtam, upamim misavvatam. Sometimes it goes along that way, sometimes it goes around them. So this is based on the fact that we live in the northern hemisphere. Because we live in the northern hemisphere, the sun is always to the south of us. Because sun moves between the Tropic of Cancer as the most northern point the sun reaches, and the Tropic of Capricorn, which is the most southern point that the sun reaches. And then it also goes across the equator, which is the center of the earth. At different periods of time, the sun is found along those different lines. The Tropic of Cancer, which is the most north, cuts about 23.25 degrees away from the equator, roughly, in each direction, the two tropics. The tropics really have to do with not the movement of the sun, but the way that we move around the sun. Because the Earth's on a tilt as it goes around the sun, during the summer for the northern hemisphere, we are closer to the sun because of the tilt of the Earth. And as it comes around to the springtime or going to the fall time, then the sun is found on, around the equator as it comes around. And then when the earth moves around to the other side, the northern hemisphere, we're the furthest away, but because of the tilt of the earth, the southern hemisphere is closer. And that's when the sun is down towards the Tropic of Capricorn. So that's why there's different movements within the earth, because of the tilt of the earth as it goes around the sun. But because of that, what ends up happening is it looks like when the sun is rising and setting, that it's actually rising or setting in different locations along the eastern front. The sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. How or where along that eastern side or western side that it rises and sets will be different at different times of the year. And that's what's being described over here. That if you go to the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, the sun is the furthest north at that time. It's at the Tropic of Cancer. Therefore, the sun will rise on the furthest point north along the eastern side of the horizon. It will then move towards the southern side of the sky, and then set again towards the northern side of the horizon. Now, the way that the Gemara describes it, which is not exactly the reality, it's not exactly what is there, what happens, but it's a way to give a sense of how this happens, is that the Gemara says that it rises on the northeastern corner of the sky. It then moves across the entire eastern side of the sky until it reaches the southern side as it climbs and moves through the sky, because again, the sun's always in the south because we are in the northern hemisphere. We're north of the Tropic of Cancer. And so then it moves along the southern side of the sky and then gets to the west and returns all the way along the western side of the sky till it sets in the northwest. So that's what the Gemara says is the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, because it has to traverse three sides of the sky on that day. It has to go all the way from the northeastern corner to the southeastern corner to the southwestern corner and then set in the northwestern corner. So that's why it traverses those three. And it's the shortest nights of the year because on its way back, it only has to traverse the southern side of the sky. Again, their day, what they believed generally was that there was a kippah, there was a shell, a rainbow-like structure over the earth, and the sun penetrated through that when it was setting or rising, and then it returned over the top of that, or outside of that kippah. And so, the likelihood is that it went on the western side above that. But that gives you the longest day of the year. On the shortest day of the year, that would be the winter solstice. On the winter solstice, the sun will rise on the southeastern corner, traverse the southern side, and then set on the southwestern side. So that's why it's the shortest day of the year, because it's only gone basically along the southern side, the longest night of the year, because then it has to return the entire western side to the north. It has to do the whole northern side, and then back on the eastern side, it has to go the whole eastern side before it rises again on the southern side. That's the basic understanding that they had. On the equinoxes, then it rises basically on the center of the eastern side and the center of the western side and climbs to the middle or towards the southern side and comes back down again, but that gives you the center between the two, in that the summer solstice will be the most north, the winter solstice will be the most south, and the equinoxes will be in the middle. The way Yerushalmi phrases it, if you take the summer and winter solstice and you take the midpoint between them, you'll get the equinox. You'll get which one is east and which one is west. You can get east and west that way by taking the middle. Or on the equinoxes, you can get where east and west is. And that's what's being described over here. The sun, by the nature of the solstices and the equinoxes, you'll be able to determine the different directions. You'll be able to determine which way is north, which way is south, and then which way is east and west based on the equinoxes. And so that's if you don't know how to find east, west, north, south, this is a suggestion about how to figure it out based on the kufot, based on the different seasons of the year that are bound by the solstice and the equinox. Because that'll give you only east and west, but somewhere along the eastern and western side. You don't know where you are.
On the equinox.
Yeah, on the equinoxes you'll get east and west, correct. It's harder to determine the equinox than it is to determine the solstice. Because the solstice, the sun moves in a single direction, then it stops. It stops going further that way and comes back. So those are the extremes. So that's easier to determine. The equinox is somewhere in the middle. You don't know when you're at the equinox. Today we know when we're at the equinox. Right. For them, they didn't really know how to calculate when the equinox was. So they took the two solstices and the midpoint between them was the equinox. So that's why it was easier to determine when the winter and summer solstice were than the equinox. There's also up north in the Golan, they've actually found remnants of a circular structure, stone structure, akin to what they also have in England, in Stonehenge, that also has a structure that seems to capture one of the stones in the opening, seems to capture when the solstice is. That's when the sun, I think the summer solstice, cuts through, and that's when the sun cuts through one of the stones that are set up there. So it was clear that they set this structure up in order to determine when the solstice was, whether that was for religious reasons or for agricultural reasons, it's not clear. They don't have any real sense of that, but it is set up in such a way that it captures the sun at the solstice. It's very hard to find. They didn't find it because it looks like it blends in with the remainder of the Golan, which is a lot of stones. So it's very hard to see it, but they captured it from an aerial views. They actually found it. On aerial pictures, it looked like there's this massive circle there. And through those aerial pictures, they were able to excavate later and found this massive structure that has this type of build that they were obviously aware of what it meant to have the solstices, and they set it up in a way that it would be obvious that they hit the solstice based on the stones that are there. I mean, halachically, B'nei Bavel, switching from Tein Bracha to Tein Talamat to the Bracha 60 days after the equinox. So that's something that uses that type of structure to bind something halachically. Hanukkah is around the winter solstice.
And Pesach and Sukkot are determined in the reconciliation between the solar and the lunar calendars based on the equinoxes. The Tkufat Tishrei and Tkufat Nisan have to fall out within a certain guidelines of Pesach and Sukkot in order to make it a fine year or to force us into a situation where we must have a leap year in order to rectify that situation. So those are other items that the solstice equinoxes, where they have halachic impact.
Right. It's a Gemara in Psochim that we're going to get to. It's number Gemara in the ninth Nerach of Psochim, where the Gemara has a machloki between the Chachamim and the Chachmei Umot Olam as to whether we're in a heliocentric world or a geocentric world. And the Chachamim take the position that we're in a geocentric world, where opposed to the Chachmei Umot Olam say that we're in a heliocentric world. And we know, obviously, that we are in a heliocentric world. So then there are those, like the Maral, who answer that Chachamim were not speaking about the reality, but rather the spiritual side. What's the center of the earth? What's most important? Is the sun the most important? Is the earth the most important? Chazal were describing the earth as being the center of the world, not from a physical standpoint, but rather from a ruchani or spiritual standpoint. Same thing with regards to there. There's a machloket about whether the sun goes underneath the earth or goes back above the kippah on its return. There, that same machlokas, a question of whether that was their view of reality, which is probably most likely the case, versus whether that was just something that was allegorical and not what they believed. It should know that this idea of the flat earth was something that developed towards the Middle Ages. Earlier astronomers believed that the sun did go underneath or that it went around fully around the earth. When they got to the Middle Ages, there was some backwardation of the thought process, and it ended up that they thought that the earth was flat, and that changed a lot of the dynamics about what they thought was happening or how they viewed these things. So it was, if you look at some of the older sources, they do believe that the sun is going underneath. Even though they thought it might have been uninhabited on the other side of the earth, they did feel that it went underneath the earth and then came back up on the other side. It has major nafkaminot with regards to the international dateline, where the setting of the international dateline is based on where you think the sun goes in the night, because then it determines where you think it begins or where the sun begins the day and how that relates to creation. We'll get to that in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There's important Bala Ma'or there, and we'll get to deal with it there. But those are all connected to what we just spoke about over here. Amara Mishar Shia, Let Nehu Lahane Klali. We don't have any of these principles. Now, this is an interesting statement from Rav Misharshia, because we've actually seen this statement from Rav Misharshia before, back on Daf Mem Vav Amud Bet. Here he's on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, back on Mem Vav Amud Bet. He has the exact same statement with regards to the Alach of Psak. Whether Alach of Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, who's the Psak like, who trumps in these situations. Rav Misharshia over there has the exact same statement, which is Amar Mishasha, Let Nehu Lahane Klali. We don't have these principles. It's very interesting. It's an identical statement. It's a question if they had that statement in the Mesorah and they were applying it, or they didn't know where it was. Did it apply there? Did it apply here? Or did he say it in both places? Very interesting that it's the exact same statement in both places that Rav Mishasha says we don't have these principles. Tanya, Lo Yitzah Chama Meolam Mikeren Mizrachit Tzvonit. The sun never rose in the northeastern corner. Vishaka Mikeren Marvit Tzvonit. And then set in the northwestern corner. V'lo yatzach hamam b'keren mizrachit drumit, and never came out of the southeastern side. V'shaka b'keren marvit drumit, and set in the southwestern side. Truth is that he might be right in the terms of the reality, but in terms of what the perception of where the sun is coming up, there is a perception of moving north and south. It does move north and south, but it is more, the perception makes it seem much more so than the reality that it dictates over here, but he says we don't have any of these principles. Then we have Amar Shmuel. Ein tkufat nisan nofelet, ela ba'arba'a rivei ayom, o b'tchilat ayom, o b'tchilat alayla, o b'chatzi ayom, o b'chatzi alayla. Shmuel says that the tkufat of nisan will only fall out in the four quarters of the day and no other time. So just, we need some background here to understand what Shmuel is saying. There's a machloket, again, that we'll get to in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, about what is the duration of the kufa of the seasons. Shmuel is of the belief that the solar year, we know, is 365 and a quarter days. 365 and a quarter days, if you divide them by 7, to get the change from year to year. 7 goes into 364. That's 52 weeks times 7 gets you 364 days. That means that there's a day and a quarter in excess of whole weeks every year. So that means the next year, the exact same time along the solar year, will be a day and a quarter later. So that's what is being said over here about the Tekufa. From year to year, the Tekufa is going to move a day and a quarter. Again, the day, in terms of the timing of the day, doesn't matter. It's 24 hours. It's a full 24 hours. The quarter is what matters. So that's what the Gemara just said here, what Shmuel just said, is that Tekufat Nisan will move a quarter of a day each year. So a quarter of a day is 6 hours. Assuming that the first time that you have it is Tchilat Ayom or Tchilat Lai, whenever the first time was, the beginning of the day, the beginning of the night, the subsequent year, it'll be in the middle of, say we start with the first time, it's at the beginning of night. The next year, it'll be at midnight. It'll be a quarter of the day later. The following year, the subsequent year, it'll be found in the morning, at the beginning of the day. Sarah's at the beginning of the day. The following year, it'll be in the middle of the day. It'll be at noon. And then in the fifth year, you return back to having it at the beginning of the night. So because of that cycling, it'll move every year a quarter of the day. Within, not days, but within the day itself, it'll move a quarter of that day in the hours of the day. Now, because it does that, after 4 years, it completes the cycle, and it's back to that starting point of the same time of day. So that gives you 4 years. In order to get it back to the same day that it started on, you would have to multiply that by 7. If you had 7 of those cycles, you'd come back to the original day on which the sun started. For that reason, you get 28 years, which is the cycle for Birkat HaChama. That's why Birkat HaChama is done every 28 years, because that returns the sun to the original position that it was in at Maaseh Breishit, roughly, because it's a little more than 365 and a quarter, but generally that's what gets you back to the original state, and that's why we have Birkat HaChama every 28 years. Now, if you take the seasons are 4. They move from the equinox Nisan, what they call Tufat Nisan, which is the vernal equinox, to the summer solstice. The summer is Tkufat Tammuz. Then you move to the autumnal equinox, which is Tkufat Tishrei. And then you move to the winter solstice, which is Tkufat Tevet. And then back again to Tkufat Nisan. Those are the 4 seasons of the year. If you take 365 and a quarter and divide it by 4, you end up with the duration of each season being 91 days, and it's 0.3125, or the equivalent of 7.5 hours. It's 91 days and 7.5 hours for each of the kufot, each of the seasons. Again, you could just take the 364. If you divide that by 4, you'll get 91 days. And then you take the 1.25 and you divide it by 4, and you end up with 7.5 hours. So it's the same thing if you divide it either in the whole or in the parts. So you'll get it. Each of the seasons is 91 days and 7.5 hours. 91 is divisible by 7. It's 13 times. It's divisible by 7, so the 91 drops away. That means between Tkufa and Tkufa, there's 7.5 hours difference. So again, if Tkufat Nisan began at the beginning of the night, that means that Tkufat Tammuz will be 7.5 hours later on the day, because it's divisible by 791. The 7.5 hours is the offset. So that'll be 7.5 hours later. So if we say, again, we start at the beginning of the night for Nisan, 7.5 hours later will be the Tufa of Tammuz, and then Tkufat Tishrei will be an additional 7.5 hours later, right, which will be 15 hours later, and then the Tufa Tevet will be another additional 7.5 hours later, or technically 22.5 hours later, and then another 7.5 hours later return you to back to Nisan, which is the equivalent of 30 hours later, or a day and a quarter, which is why there's 6 hour difference between the year to year that goes on the Tkufot. So the 2 things you can know from this is that every Tkufa is 6 hours later in the following year. If you have the Tkufa this year, you know where the Tkufa the next year for that same Tkufa will be 6 hours later. And number 2 is from one Tkufa to the next Tkufa, it moves 7.5 hours. It'll move 7.5 hours along the day. So those are pieces of information, and then through that we'll put together what Shmuel says now. So Amar Shmuel, Ein Tkufat Nisan Nofelet, Ela, Barbari Ve'ayom, Obetzkilat Ayom, Obetzkilat Alayla, B'chatzi Ayom, B'chatzi Alayla. Assuming that the world was created in Nisan, and that the sun began at that point, so whenever it begins on Nisan, whenever the sun is set in place for Tkufat Nisan, that was a starting point. That starting point was either, let's call it the beginning of the night. So that's the beginning of the start of these seasonal changes. So it begins at night. So that means that every subsequent year, Nisan, or Tkuvat Nisan, will be 6 hours later. And that's what it's saying here. That it's Ba'arba Rivei Ayom, in the four quarters of the day. O B'tchilat Ayom, O B'tchilat Alayla, O B'chetzi Yom, O Chatzi Layla, which is moving 6 hours each year. Ve'ein Tkuvat Tammuz Nofelet Ela. So then Tkuvat Tammuz, as we said before, is going to be 7.5 hours later. So then it's O B'chat Memechza, O B'sheva Memechza, Ben Bayom, Ben Balayla. So let's think about Nisan. Nisan either falls out. I'm going to use a day that the sun sets 6 p.m. That's the beginning of the day at night, 6 p.m. It rises at 6 a.m. in the morning and then sets the subsequent day at 6. It's all relative hours because we're dealing with Shavuot Zmaniyot, but we'll use those as the example. So for instance, if the Tkufat Nisan was at 6 p.m., the beginning of the day, that means that Tkufat Tammuz will be 7.5 hours later, which is 1:30 in the morning. That means 1:30 in night. That's what it says here. Achad b'mechza b'layla. If Tkufat Nisan in the subsequent year is 6 hours later, which means it's at midnight, that means that Tkufat Tammuz is 7.5 hours later, or 7:30 in the morning, 7:30 a.m. If Tkufat Nisan in the subsequent year is 6 hours later, which is at 6 a.m., when the sun rises, then Tkufat Tammuz will be 7.5 hours later, or 1:30 in the afternoon. And then in the subsequent year, the fourth year, when Tkufat Nisan moves to noon, the middle of the day, in the Tkufat Tammuz, 7.5 hours later, will be 7:30 in the evening. And that's what the Gemara just said now, that the Tkufat Tammuz can only fall out at 1:30 or 7:30, whether it is day or night. Then, Ve'en Tkufat Tishrei Nofelet, then you move on to the subsequent Tkufa, which is the equinox, the autumnal equinox, which is 7.5 hours later than that. So that will fall out, O B'shlosh Sha'ot, O B'teisha Sha'ot. It'll fall out at 3 or 9. Because if Tkufat Tammuz falls out at 7:30 in the morning, or 7:30 at night, if you add 7.5 hours to that, it'll be 3. If it was at 7:30 in the morning, it'll now be 3 p.m., and it was 7:30 at night, it will now be 3 a.m. And then, if the Tkufat Tammuz was 1:30 in the morning or 1:30 at night, if you add 7.5 hours to that, if it was 1:30 in the morning, it will now be 9 a.m. for the equinox for Tkufat Tishrei. Or, if it was 1:30 in the afternoon, it will be 9 p.m. for Tishrei. And that's what the Gemara just said here. Then Tkufat Teveit, Tovelet, and if you move forward now another 7.5 hours to Tkufat Teveit, to the winter solstice, then that only can fall out at 4:30 or 10:30. If you take Tishrei, which falls out at 3 or 9, so if it falls out at 3 a.m., if you add 7.5 hours to that, it'll be 10:30 in the morning. If it fell out at 3 p.m., that'll be 10:30 at night. If it, on the other hand, fell out at 9 a.m., 9 a.m. plus 7.5 hours is 4:30 p.m., and if it fell out at 9 p.m., then it will turn out to be 7.5 hours later is 4:30 a.m. And that is what's described here about Tkufat Teveit. So now we have a grasp on what Shmuel said. Now Shmuel makes the next statement, which is, which is what we described before, this calculation that you get the seasons being 91 days plus 7.5 hours. Ve'ein tkufa moshechet mechaberta ela chatzi sha'a. That the tkufa to tkufa only moves half, we'll call it a planetary hour, from the previous Tkufa. This has to do with the nature of the planetary motions, which is a chart that I sent out. If you take a look at that chart, what I laid out on the chart is that the Gemara believes, or what they had in mind, was that there is a cycle of the planets. The cycle of the planets are laid out by an acronym, which is Kalash Samchan, which is the first letter of each of the planets. The first one is Achav, which is Kochav, which is Mercury. Then there's Livana, which is the moon. Then there's Shabtai, which is Saturn. Then there's Tzedek, which is Jupiter. Then there's Ma'adim, which is Mars. Then there's Chama, which is Sun. And then Noga, which is Venus. Those are seven planets, and they cycle through. Those seven planets, each one of them gets an hour of the day. And then they cycle over and over again through the day. So, again, starting out with an example of Nisan, where you start out at 6 p.m. as it's Tkufat Nisan. On the first hour of Nisan, the planet that would be that hour is Kochav. The next hour would be Livana. The subsequent hour would be Shabtai, then Tzedek, then Ma'adim, Chama, Noga. They would serve it then, and then it would start again. So once you've covered those 7 hours, For the next hour, you go back to Kochav again. And you continue to cycle through. What turns out, and Rashi points this out, is that if you keep that cycle going through the day, through the 24 hours of the day, you will find that there are two things that happen. One is at the sunrise, which is the seven times that the sun rises during the week, the order of the planets, that is, on those days when the sun rises, is Kalam Katznash. Kalam Katznash, which is Chama, Livana, Ma'adim, then Kochav, then Tzedek, then Noga, and then lastly, Shabtai. Why that is interesting is, what I just read to you in the order, and this is what I show you in the chart as well, is that that's actually how the secular days of the week got determined. Because Chet is on the first day of the week. The first hour of daylight on that day is Chet, which is Chama, Sunday. The second day of the week, Yom Sheni, the constellation, the planet that's there on the beginning of that day when the sun rises, is Livana, Monday, or the French word is Lunde, from lunar, Lunde, which is Monday. The third day of the week, Yom Shilishi, is Ma'adim, Mars. So in English, it doesn't work as well, Tuesday, but the French and the Spanish as well, when you go to the Latin languages, is Mardi, which is Tuesday, Mars. That is why Tuesday is known in that way. Wednesday, constellation, the planet that comes up on Wednesday is the Chaf or the Kochav, which is Mercury. And again, in the English, it doesn't work as well, which is Wednesday, but in French, it's Mercredi. Mercredi for Mercury. Then on Yom Chamishi, on Thursday, the planet that comes up in the morning is Tzedek, Jupiter. Again, the English doesn't work as well, but the French is Jeudi, from Jupiter. Then Friday, or Yom Shishi, is Venus, or Noga, which, again, in English, Friday doesn't make as much difference, but in the French, it's Vendredi. Vendredi, which is Venus. Then we come to Shabbat. Now, Shabbat works well because it comes back to Shabtai, which is Saturn or Saturday. So the days of the week, or the names of the days of the week, actually come from what we're discussing right now, is this planetary cycle that works on a seven basis. So the planetary cycle, which cycles at seven through those 24 hours, on the days of the week, when they fall out, as Rashi points out, that the first hour of the day of sunrise has Chalam Katznash, which matches the secular naming of the days of the week. He also points out that the first hour of every night is Katznash Chalam, which is a layout of these seven cycles. And I put it together in a chart so that you can see it visually. It's easier to see. It's got to do with the location or the visibility of the planets during those hours, that there were these are considered to be the seven planetary orbits around the Earth. Yeah, it's not clear. It's not easy because none of those are true necessarily. But those are the seven planets that I think were visible to them, that they were able to see. And therefore they thought that those seven planets had, starting at the beginning of the night, every hour, one of those planets, it was their rule, it was their hour. And again, they include the sun and the moon and the planets because they think that the sun and the moon are orbiting the Earth. The moon happens to orbit the Earth, but the sun does not. But it looks like it is orbiting the Earth. So all the planets look like they're going around the Earth. And these are the planets that were visible to them, which are the Moon, the Sun, Mercury, Jupiter, Mars, and Venus. Any of the planets beyond that were not visible to them. It took much longer for them to be able to see those and understand that there were additional planets in the solar system. But based on this cycle of seven, then it works out that if you have, for instance, a Tkufa that falls out in one of these seven planetary orbits, the subsequent Tkufa will be offset by a half an hour. We said that Ben Tkufa, the Tkufa is 7.5 hours. So that means that if the Tkufa, for instance, the Tkufa of Nisan in the beginning starts out with Kochav, then the Tkufa of Tammuz will be a half an hour into Kochav. And then the subsequent Tkufa, Tkufat Tishrei, will be 7.5 hours later. The seven doesn't matter because the planets are seven cycle, but the half an hour does matter. So then it'll be a half an hour forward. So after Kochav comes Livana. So that means Livana will be the Tkufat Tishrei. And then Tkufat Tevet will be a half an hour into Tkufat Livana. And then after that, the subsequent, when you come back to Tkufat Nisan, will be another half an hour later, which will move from Livana into Shabtai. So because of that, that's what Shmuel just said here, that there's a half an hour offset in the planetary orbits, or the planetary hours, between each Tkufa. Because the planets move in a seven cycle, and Tkufot are 7.5 hours apart, that half an hour difference is the offset between Tkufot and Tkufot about how much it moves through these planetary cycles. Then, Vamar Shmuel, Lecha Tkufot Nisan, Shinofel, Bitzedek, Sheino Mishaberet Et Ayilanot. If Tkufot of Nisan falls out in Tzedek in Jupiter, again, based on the cycling, if it falls out in Jupiter, that falling out in Jupiter will cause the trees to be destroyed or difficult for the trees of that year. Which is the winter solstice that falls out in Jupiter, that cause a certain amount of drought or drying out of the vegetation. That's only true. That the Molad Levana, which is the way that we term the lunar months, that the lunar month began either in Levana or Tzedek in that year. So you have to have all these things to combine in order for it to be problematic. Based on that cycling, if the Molad of Nisan falls out either in Levana or Tzedek, plus the Tkufa falls out in Tzedek, that would be problematic. Again, you're dealing with two different cycles. You're dealing with a lunar cycle and a solar cycle. So they'll fall out differently through the cycle of the planetary orbits. And so only when they coincide in this way that the lunar and the solar calendar of Nisan, the lunar Nisan and the solar Nisan, which is the equinox, fall out in Jupiter of that year, that will be problematic. Or if the Levana falls out in Levana itself, plus the equinoxes in Jupiter. All right, that's a little bit of a sidebar about the astrology and astronomy of Chazal. Tosafot does make one interesting point, which is that the problem of Sha'ot Zmaniyot. That if you're dealing with whole days, it really doesn't matter. If you use the 24-hour period, it should be indifferent between the length of the hours of the day. It's just the length of the hours of the day and the length of the hours of night. So if the day hours are longer, then the night hours are shorter. The day hours are shorter, then the night hours are longer. Over a 24-hour period, the average will be the same of a 60-minute hour. So it won't matter. What will matter is the residual. So for instance, between the seasons, you have 91 days, and 7.5 hours. So the 91 days are irrelevant because they're 24-hour periods. So it doesn't matter what the Shod Zmaniyot are, the difference of the length of the day. What does matter is the 7.5 hours. And Tosafot says, I don't know what to do with this, it's really problematic, which is that if you're in the summertime, and you're moving from the equinox to the solstice, those 7.5 hours will matter whether they fall out during the day or during the night. Because you're moving into the summer solstice. So those additional 7.5 hours, when you add them there, if you're adding 7.5 hours of daylight hours, or you're adding 7.5 hours of night hours, and that'd be a huge difference between the gap or the difference over the year will average out, basically, but you'll be off by the quarter day, and depending when that quarter day falls off. Because they're not absolute 24-hour cycles, then the Shod Zmaniyot do have impact on the amount or the length, he says, of each season of the Tkufot. And it actually impact that the Tkufot will not be exactly 91 days and 7.5 hours, but those 7.5 hours are different sizes, and therefore the actual seasons will be different. He does talk about the possibility of it being an absolute hour, 60 minutes of an absolute hour, and then doing it that way, but he says it doesn't really work out. Because we don't find this in the way that, as I'll describe it, and this brings up other issues, we're using this exact hour, but that would be the only way to get it. If you use a fixed type of hour of 60 minutes, no matter what type of year, then you would keep the seasons equal. Otherwise, you're going to have this problem of Tosafot that the seasons will not be equal depending on when the hours are falling out. And it does not have to do with the time of the year, it has to do with the time of day that it falls out. So even in the summer solstice, if the hours fall out during the day, you'll have a longer season. If the 7.5 hours fall at night, you'll actually have a shorter season, because the night hours are shorter in the summer solstice, and the day hours are longer. So it's not the season, but the time of day that it falls out during that season, that will determine the length of the season. Just a very interesting note and very astute point that Tosafot makes. All right, now we move on to Eruvin, some more difficult stuff within Eruvin. Here we'll do the first part quickly, and then we'll have to, a little introduction to get us to the second part, which is Tana Banan. I'm Rabbi Atayir, Oseh Otak Min Tavlam Rubat. You want to square out the city, you square it out like a square. V'chozer umrabet atchumim. And then you square out the tchumim in addition to that. V'osim otak min tavla miruvat. And then you make that out into a squared platform. Let's just understand this. Their possibility was that you get 2,000 amot outside of the city. For instance, if the city is circular, then you would get 2,000 amot that are in a circle around the city. So just like the city is circular, your tchum would also be circular in nature if you had the 2,000 amot around. So then we have the first statement, which is that we square out the city. So by squaring out the city, then the 2,000 amot that are around now have a benefit of the city being squared out. What we still don't know is, The tchum itself, what's the shape of the tchum? If you actually follow the square around and keep a straight line of 2,000 amot as you move around the square, what you'll end up with is a squared out tchum that is circular at the corners. As you move around the corners of the tchum, that those 2,000 amot, if you kept them equidistant from the city, because the city is now square, you would get a square with circular corners, because the 2,000 amot will diminish as you come around the corner. As you come around the corner, you get 2,000 amot exactly from the corners as you move around. Then 2,000 amot on a diagonal is shorter than 2,000 amot on the straightaway. Because if you wanted to square out the corner, the hypotenuse of a triangle, we know is longer than the straight edge of the triangle. So just imagine a triangle in the corner. If you take a triangle that is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, the hypotenuse would be much longer. We're going to get to that calculation in a second. But if you keep it steady at 2,000 amot as you come around the corner, that would actually round the corners out. That's the second statement of the Gemara, that we square out the tchumim themselves as well. Not only do we square out the city, we square out the tchumim. And therefore, ushumodeid lo yimdod me'emtza keren alpayim ama. If you measure the 2,000 amot from the diagonal, from the corner of the city, then you're going to lose out. You're going to end up with these circular or these rounded corners instead of a squared out corner. You lose the corners. Instead of them being squared out corners, they become circular corners. Ella. So what should you do? Mevi kavla merubat shel apayim ama al apayim ama. You bring a square that is 2,000 by 2,000. Umeniacha. And then you put that into the corner. Nimtzeit. Now here is the calculation of Chazal. You can see here the benefits that you are deriving. Over here you can see that if the city was rounded, the benefit of squaring it out. Plus, had the tchum been 2,000 amot, it would have been a rounded corner, and you square it out. What is the benefit of that? It's a simple calculation. It's Pythagorean's theorem. Pythagorean's theorem here is that you really have a triangle into the corners. We know, for instance, in the city, and the Gemara will get to this later, they say the city is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. That means that the radius of the city is 1,000 amot. That means in the corner of the city, you have, for each corner of the city, you have a square that's set up, which is 1,000 by 1,000. And if you set a line through the middle of that, the hypotenuse, you have a triangle now that is 1,000 amot by 1,000 amot. And the hypotenuse will tell you how much you gain by squaring out the city. The Chazal have a principle that is, anything that is an ama by an ama, the lachson, the hypotenuse is 1 2/5, which if you use Pythagorean's theorem would be 1 squared plus 1 squared is 2. It would be the square root of 2. So the square root of 2 turns out to be 1.4, da 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 da. Chazal estimated that at 2/5. So at 2/5, it's not exact, but it's a very close estimation to the Pythagorean theorem and the hypotenuse. So if I do this 1 2/5 by this number, so let's start out with a city that is 2,000 by 2,000. We say that there's each corner is 1,000 by 1,000 triangle. The hypotenuse is going to be 1.4 times that. That means you're going to gain an additional 400 amot into the corner. That's what the Gemara is about to say. Then if you move out to the tchumim go out 2,000 amot. So if I take out the 2,000 amot again in the corners, I can create a square that is 2,000 by 2,000 in the corner. The hypotenuse of that triangle would be the amount that is the distance of the corner. So I have a triangle that is 2,000 by 2,000 amot. The hypotenuse is going to be 2,000 times 1.4 or 2,800 amot or an additional 800 amot. That is exactly what the Gemara is about to say here. That the benefit of squaring out the city as well as squaring out the tchum benefits you, first of all, 400 amot, then 800 amot, or a total of 1,200 amot. If you walk the diagonal of the city now, if you walked out that diagonal, you would benefit in the tchum 1,200 amot because of the squaring out, rather than had it been circular in nature. And that's what the Gemara says now. Just did the calculations outside for you. Now we can read in the Gemara. What do you do? Elamevi, tavla merubat, shi alpayim alapayim amam, nicha bekerem belachsona. Nimtzeit, ha'ir mistakeret, the city benefits 400 amot, 400 amot, which is, again, the hypotenuse that adds on 1.4 times the city size. And it says, again, it said the city size is 2,000 by 2,000, so it's 1,000 times 1.4, which is 1,400. Lekan, 400 amot, lekan. And then you get another 400 on the other side of the city. Nimtzu, tchumim, mistakrim, chet meot. So from that, the tchumim benefit 800 amot lekan, ushmono meot lekan. They benefit 800. That's what the calculation we did before, which is the 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. The diagonal of that is 1.4 times that, which is an additional 800, 2,800 amot, or an additional 800 amot. Nimtzu ha'ir v'tchumim mistakrim elef u'matayim lekan, elef u'matayim lekan. The benefit of the city in each direction is 1,200 amot. If you move along that hypotenuse, had you simply had the city, and the radius of the city would have been 1,000 amot. And if in addition to that, you took out another radius that was the tchumim, which would be 2,000 amot, the distance that you could walk from the center of the city would be 3,000 amot. Instead, by squaring it out in that direction, you are able then to walk 1,400 plus 2,800, which is 4,200. 4,200 instead of the 3,000 amot is the 1,200 amot you benefit by going on the diagonal, by squaring out the city and then squaring out the tchumin. So that's pretty straightforward. Now, Amar Abaye. Umishkach ba'bemata diavi trialfei atrialfei, and that's what we determined already, that the city has to be 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot in order to get to that 400. In order to have the corner be a 400 benefit, that has to be a city who is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, or that the corners are 1,000 by 1,000, that gives you the 400 amot. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi makes a statement which is difficult, and that statement is going to lead us all the way to the next Mishnah. We won't get all the way to the Mishnah, we'll get hopefully most of the way there. That Tchum Arei Levim Alpayim Amah. The Tchum of Arei Levim is 2,000 amot. Same Elohim, Elef Amah Migrash. Take out 1,000 amot of Migrash. Nikta Migrash Revia. That the Migrash is 1/4. Bashar Sadot Vikramim. And the remainder is the fields and the vineyards. Minahane Milet. Where does he know this from? So the first part is a pretty easy solution, which is Amar Rava, Damar Kra. The Pasuk says, by Arei Levim, from the city, 1,000 amot outwards, that is what you give to the city or the Arei Levim. That put 1,000 around the city. That part is easy. What the Chazal do is they reconcile the stira and the psukim. Psukim, which we used before to determine how far is tchum, we said tchum is 2,000 amot, because it says by the Arei Levim 2,000 amot. But also says by the Arei Levim 1,000 amot. Chazal reconciled that by saying that the first 1,000 amot is migrash, which is open space, and then the subsequent 1,000 amot that are out is sadot and kramim. For a total of 2,000 amot that are outside the city that belong to the city. So in the periphery of the city, or the perimeter of the city, you have the first 1,000 amot around, which are breathing space, air space, which are left open, unworked, unplanted, and then you have additional 1,000 amot, which are considered to be the fields and the vineyards. So far, all of that is pretty straightforward. Problematic part of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi's statement is he says that the migrash is 1/4. Nimsa migrash 1/4. 1/4 of what? And how is the migrash 1/4? That is what's very difficult and what the Gemara is trying to solve over here. Now, just before we begin this process, you have to know that there are two terms that the Gemara is going to use. One of them is tchumin, and the other one is kranot. Whenever we're talking about areas that are directly opposite the square of the city, those are called the tchumim. The areas that are opposite the corners of the city, those are called the kranot. So you can look in any of the books or any of the gemarot that have pictures of this. You can see that directly opposite the city, there are 2,000 amot that go out in each direction. Those two, an area, and assuming a city of 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, you have 2,000 by 2,000 amot square areas that face the city, the square of the city, which is the tchumim, what the Gemara calls the tchumim in the city. In addition to that, you have in the corners of the tchum, you have another box that is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, which are called the kranot on the four sides. Right, that's important information, background to know when the Gemara moves here. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand. Nimsa migrash revia. So that the migrash is 1/4. Revia, it's not 1/4. Palgahavi, it's 1/2 of it. That's right, exactly. It's 2,000 amot, and 1,000 of those amot is migrash. So then half of the area that's allocated is allocated to migrash. So Amar Rav, Rava, Rava says, Bar Adam Shuha, Bar Adam is his name, Shuha is that his profession was a surveyor. He was the person who measured the tchum. Asavrali, he explained to me, Mishkachadla, this is the case. Bimate Adami Treyafei Al Treyafei, that a city that is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. Tchum Kama Havyo. How much is the tchum? Shitzar, 16. I'll explain this in 1 second. Kranot, kama avion. The corners, how many are they? Shitzar, 16. What this person is doing, or what Rav has explained to us here, is they're taking boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 amot. If you take boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 amot, if a city is 2,000 by 2,000, that means each side, that's what I described to you before, is 2,000 by 2,000 amot on each side. You break those up into quadrants, into four corners, you get four boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 amot. So on each side of the city, the tchum is four of these boxes of 1,000 by 1,000. For the four sides of the city, that's 16 boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 amot. If you move into the corners, again, you have the kranot. Those corner areas, again, 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. If you break them down to boxes of 1,000 by 1,000, there are four in each corner. So if I take the four corners of the tchum, with four in each corner, I get 16 of these boxes in the corners. So the tchum of the city is 32 of these boxes. 32 of these boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 will give you the area of the tchum. The area of the tchum, which is when it's squared out, is an area that is 6 by 6 of these boxes, 36 of these boxes, 6 by 6, or 6,000 amot. By 6,000 amot is the tchum of a city that's 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot. So you have 36 of these boxes. So that's great. Then, for the migrash is the 1,000 amot around. So if I take the 1,000 amot around, let's work on the migrash now. So he says, we have 32 from the tchumim and the kranot of the 2,000 around it, the total of the tchum around it. Then, dal, take away for the migrash. Tamya de tchumim, the 8 that are opposite the side, the walls of the city. 1,000 amot out from the city. And we're talking about how many boxes you have of 1,000 by 1,000. For each wall of the city, for each side, the square of the city, you will have now 2 boxes of 1,000 by 1,000. For the 4 sides, that gets you 8. And then you have the corners. The corners over there have 1 box of 1,000 by 1,000. That box of 1,000 by 1,000 on the 4 corners is 4. Together, they make up 12. So you now have 12 for the migrash. And the total area of the tchum is, we said before, 16 and 16, which is 32. So it's 12 out of 32. So kama avyo. So that's tresar. Nimsa migrash revia. So then you find that the migrash is a quarter, which is a 12 out of the 32. Mar says, tfei mitlata ninu. What are you talking about, a quarter? It's more than a third. 12 out of 32 is more than a third. So how can you say this is a quarter? It's more than 12 into 36 would be a third. So it's even more than a third. You're telling me it's a quarter? So aita arba demato shadi alayu. Add in the additional 4 for the city. The city itself is 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, which means you have 4 quadrants of 1,000 by 1,000. If I add that to the 32 of the tchum, I'm up to 36. And the migrash is 12 out of those 36. Akate tiltavi. That's still only a third. That's 12 out of 36. As the migrash, out of the total area, that's a third. Misfarad biribua kamar. Who says you're doing it in a square? Biigula kamar. He's saying this in a circle. Kama maruba yeter ala igul. How much is a square greater than a circle? If you have a circle inscribed inside of a square, how much greater is the square than the circle? Revia, a quarter. Now this happens to be true both in perimeter and in area. It works out. If you assume that pi is 3, which is what Chazal did, they assumed that pi is 3, it works out that both for area and perimeter, this works out. Let's do perimeter first. Perimeter is easy. If you have a circle that has a diameter, D is the diameter, the way to calculate the perimeter is pi D, or 3D. For the square, if the diameter goes all the way across, for the square, the perimeter is 4 times D, because those are the 4 sides. So that means that it's 4D versus 3D, which is a quarter more. That's a quarter more in the Chazal's language of quarter mila bar, means that you multiply one third, you get the 4D. So that's for perimeter works. For area, it works the same way. The area of a circle is pi r squared, the radius, pi r squared. So that's 3r squared is the area of a circle going to Chazal. A square, r is half the length of a square, so you need 2r to get the side of the square. You have 2 of those, so you have 2r squared. 2r squared equals 4r squared. 4r squared divided by 3r squared, the r squared drops away, and you get 4 over 3. So the area of a square is a quarter greater than the area of a circle. So now, if you do that, you end up with the number that you're looking for. Dal revia minayu. If you back down a quarter from the 12, if you drop a quarter from the 12, then pashalutisha, you get 9. 9 into 36 is a quarter. Now we solved the problem. We got the information that you needed. Now, the difficulty with this is, obviously, we just said you square out the city. If you square out the city, why are you talking about a circular city? So the answer is, and the Rashi makes this point later on, Sha'afa pishi yeshuva ir agula, umigrasha agulim. Even though the city itself is circular, and the migrash granted to it is circular, mikom agam linyan chelek alevi'im, linyan tchumei shabbat, anamusifim lahem ribua. So the ribua is there for the totality of the space that's granted to them. But in terms of the city itself, and possibly the migrash, we still look at them in their original form, which is the circular form. So the Migrash and the city's calculation were based on it being circular, whereas the total of the area will be determined by the squaring out of the area. So in that case, you have 9 into 36, and that gives you the quarter that you're looking for. So now, the Gemara gives an alternative answer. You can even do this with a city that's 1,000 by 1,000. We did it with a city that's 2,000 by 2,000. It even worked with a city that's 1,000 by 1,000. Tchumim kamahavu. How much are the tchumim in a city that is 1,000 by 1,000? Tam nayo. That's 8. Again, remember the word tchumim means the sides that face the straight edge of the city. So in the case where you're going out to the tchumim are 2,000 amot out by 1,000 amot wide. So that means for, when you have 1,000 by 1,000, each side has two boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 that are directly opposite the city. So that gives you 8. The kranot are an area that is 2,000 by 2,000. That gives you a box of 4 of these quadrants of 1,000 by 1,000 times 4, right, is 16. Kranot kamihavi shitzar, that's 16. So 16 plus 8 is 24. So you have 24 boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 around the city that is 1,000 by 1,000 amot. Dal arba de tchumin, v'arba de kranot. If you take out for the migrash, the 1,000 by 1,000 box that is the migrash, so on the four sides of the city, you get 4, because that's 1,000 by 1,000 for each side of the city. And then the kranot also get a box that's 1,000 by 1,000. That's another 4. Kamahavya, that's 8. Tamyo. So you have 8. 8 out of a total of 24. Rama says, tiltavo. Again, that's a third, not a quarter. Misvarat bi'ibua kamar. Who says you're doing with the square? Bi'igula kamar. Again, we're dealing with a city that is circular. Kamarupa yeter al'igul revia. That's a quarter greater. Dal revia, if you knock out a quarter from the size of the migrash again we said was 8 out of the 24. You knock a quarter out of that, you're down to 6. Pashalu shita, that's 6. Shita michabdal, it's 6 out of the 24 we just calculated is riva havi. That's a quarter. Ravina amar, my revia. Revia de tchumin. Ravashi amar, my revia. Revia de kranot. So if we go back to, according to Rashi at least, we're going back to the point that we're talking about a city that is 2,000 amot, by 2,000 amot, according to Rashi. Tosafot does not necessarily agree with that, that they go back to doing the 2,000 amot or 2,000 amot. But if we go back to the original scenario, we have 2,000 amot by 2,000 amot, then if you look at just the tchumim, or just the kranot of this item, then you'll get that. Think about a square around. We said before that there are 32 boxes of 1,000 by 1,000 around this area. If you take the tchumin of that area, the tchumin are on each side 2. There are 2 on each side, which is for a total of 2, 4, 6. There are 8 of those total boxes. The 8 of those boxes to be a quarter is 8 out of 32. That's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for 8 out of 32 is a quarter. So if you do not count the corners of the migrashim, simply the tchumim of the migrash, you'll end up with the number 8. The number 8, if you divide that into 32, is a quarter. That is how Ravina solves the problem of how you get to a quarter. By simply taking the 1,000 by 1,000 boxes only on the part of migrash is exactly opposite the city, do you get 8 instead of the 12 that we calculated? And that 8 divided into 32 is a quarter. For those of you who have the pictures from the Ma'ora Mivu'ar, in picture number 208, which pictures the Shita of Ravina, there's actually a mistake in the number there. They mention that it's 36, but the number really should be 32, because it's 8 out of the 32 that gets you the quarter, and they mistakenly put the 36, which is the totality, the total number of squares there, including the city. For Ravina, Ravina doesn't include the city in that calculation, it only includes the outer boxes, the Tchumim, which is 32. And that's how he gets the quarter, it's 8 out of the 32. The other option is Ravashi. Ravashi says if you look at the kranot of the migrash, which are 1,000 by 1,000, that is 4. There are 4 of those kranot around. Those 4, how much is each keren of the area of the whole migrash and the tchumin? We said that each side is 4. So there's 16 total kranot around. So 4 out of the 16 is a quarter. The migrash takes up of the kranot 1 quarter. And so too, the tchum takes up 1 quarter of the total area. So those are other areas to have a relationship of a quarter between having the migrash and then be that a quarter of something. These Amoraim are trying to answer what the relationship is between these different items. Okay, we're going to stop over here. But the bar continues, but I think it's a good point to stop.